without an English book? Why would I go to science class without a science book? Why would I not want to bring the book to the house of God? Amen. This morning I want to preach just a moment this morning. God's in the house. He's already done what he does. Amen. I want you to know this morning, though, if you've come in and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, this morning could be your morning. You could be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're bound down by something and need to be set free, this is a morning you can be set free. Amen. I want to preach just a little while on the subject of old-time religion. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. I'm an old-time preacher. I'm not but 44, but I stand on the old path and the old way. I don't give in to the new version of the Bible. I don't give in to the NIV and none of that stuff or the ESV. I stick with the KJV. There are some things my anointing will not let me do, and I stick with that. And this church is a old-timey church. Can I get an amen? Hey, I'll tell you what, it works when you put a choir up there and they get singing that I've been saved, I've been changed, I've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, when you get 20 people up there bragging on Jesus, can I say it'll do something in a person's life? And this morning I want to share with you the old time religion. You know, people don't like the old time religion. They don't like the old way. They want to feel good when they leave church. They want to feel good when they leave. They don't want no conviction on their life. I'd hate to know I went somewhere and stayed for an hour and left out the same way I got in. Hey, if I went to a restaurant to eat, I'd want to be a fool when I got out of there. Can I get an amen? Hey, if I went to the doctor, I'd want to be a well when I got out of there. Can I get an amen? Hey, I want you to know this morning, if I went to the gas pump and put the nozzle in my truck and I filled it up and I already paid, I want it to be full when I leave. Can I get an amen? Hey, I don't want nothing fake. I want the real stuff. Hey, give me the Bible. Give me Jesus. Hey, give it to me straight. I want the real stuff. I want to know when I leave here or what I believe and what I stand on is enough to get me over yonder. Can I get an amen? I don't want to worry when that time comes if I'm going to get over there. Hey, I've read the book and I'm going to make it because Jesus wins. He wins. He wins. He wins this morning. Hallelujah. He wins this morning. Boy, I'm glad to be here, ain't you? Hey, now let's just fight Satan. Let's storm hell and this morning and win people back. Amen. In Jesus' name, if you're sideways this morning, you can get straight. If you're bound down, you can get straight. If you're locked up, you can get straight. If you need to be loosened up, you can get loosened up. Amen. Woo, glory. Devil, I told you where to turn to yet. Boy, I can't help it. I can't help it. He saved me, done too much for me to be quiet about it. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven, and you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. I'm not going to stay there. Can I get amen? I'm going to cry out. There ain't no rock. Brother Kevin's going to take my place. I'm telling you, I didn't have nothing when I started this race, and I don't care if I got anything when I end. All I know is I got Jesus, and I'm a friend of his. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter number 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 25. That old-time religion. That old-time religion. I'm talking about stuff that'll do you good. I'm talking about stuff that'll change your life. I'm talking about stuff that will raise your kids right. I'm talking about stuff that'll make your marriage get right. I'm talking about stuff that'll make your life get right. Getting with Jesus, amen. Getting with Jesus. Me and this woman are going to be married 24 years tomorrow. I'm talking about tomorrow. 24 years tomorrow. And it ain't all been good, Shay Taylor. There's a time I lived like the devil, and all I wanted to do was serve him. I didn't want to get right. That woman prayed for me, and she prayed for me, and she prayed for me. And can I say to you, since I got saved 17 years ago, our marriage has been sweet, sweet, sweet. Because Jesus came into my life. Oh, since Jesus came into my life. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 25, the Bible says, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. That's what a lost person will do. Hey, they'll get a conviction of the Holy Ghost, and they'll get an altar, and they'll get trembling. They'll start calling out, I'm lost, and I need to be saved. Hey, ain't no preacher got to persuade them that they're lost. Hey, the Holy Ghost will let them know that they're lost. They don't have to be persuaded. Hey, can I say to you, a man that's been saved, a preacher ain't got to persuade him that he's been born again. He'll know it in his heart. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning. I thank you that he's all in this room. I thank you for the power that's in here this morning. I thank you for the songs that we've sung. Hey, there's no grave that can hold this body down. And Lord, if there's one lost this morning and undone and need to be saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, let them come. Hey, let them don't keep holding on to an experience they had in their life and they live it like they're going to hell. Lord, I pray this morning that they get off of what they've done and get on what you've done, Father, and they get to an old-timey altar and they do our business with an old-timey God. Hey, Lord, the time is running short and the time is coming where you're going to call for your bride to come home. And Father, I pray no one's left behind that is in this building. I pray that they know they're saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray that this morning and I ask you to move on them. I ask you to move on their heart. I ask you to pull them to this old-timey altar and they give their life to you, that one that is backslidden. I pray they do the same and get to that place where they fall back in love with you. Father, I love you and I thank you and I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless the next few moments. Bless this word. You be lifted up. You be high lifted up. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. That old-time religion this morning, can I say to you, it did the old-timers good and it'll do us good this morning. That old-time religion, hey, when you go back and you open up your place behind the pulpit and you put a choir in, that old-time religion, hey, people are doing away with choirs and they're doing away with them and they're throwing them out the door. They don't want the old stuff. They don't want the old path. They want something new. Hey, they want something new that'll work in their life. Can I say to you this morning, there's only one thing that'll work in your life and his name is Jesus this morning. If you get hooked up with him, I want you to know he'll change your life. He'll make all things new. Here, Paul and Silas was locked up for preaching the old-time religion. No matter what they would do, they would not be quiet. They would preach that word. Hey, folks heard them everywhere. Everywhere they went, they heard Paul and Silas, and they got locked up for preaching Jesus. And then in Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm thankful for that old-time religion this morning. I'm thankful for the old way. I'm thankful for the old path. I'm thankful that there's not three ways to Jesus. There's not two ways to Jesus, but there is a one way this morning. And you say, preacher, what does old time religion produce? How do I know if I got an old time religion? How do I know if it's down in my heart? How do I know it's settled down in my soul? How do I know I'm not just going through the moments? How do I know that God is in control of my life? How do I know that he's on the throne? How do I know this morning when that old time religion gets down in your heart? Number one, it'll produce a prayer in a person's life. Hey, they'll start praying. Look here, he said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. You say, preacher, what did they pray? No matter the situation, they prayed. Can I say to you, when you walk into a church, hey, folks are going to be praying. They're going to be uplifting to the name of Jesus. They're going to be calling on the Messiah. They're going to be asking him to move, and he'll show up and move in the amongst of them people. Can I say to you, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter the pressure that's going on. Hey, you pray this morning. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. You say, preacher, is prayer that important? Can I say to you, in old time religion, hey, prayer is important. Amen. Hey, old timers, they pray. They didn't give up. They prayed. Hey, they got on their knees. Hey, they got on their face before God. Hey, they didn't just pray on Sunday, but they prayed all week long. Hey, they stayed in prayer for their family that was lost. They prayed for their church that was was backslidden. Hey, they got in that altar and they'd pray and they wouldn't give up. And you know what happened? Hey, chains broke in their life. Hey, this morning, if something's got a hold on you, hey, I want you to know you've been prayed for this week. We've asked God to break them chains and to set the captive free. Old time religion, people will pray. They won't give up and they'll stick with it and they'll stay with it until they see something happen. Hey, prayer changes things. Amen. Does anybody in this room know Dog Chapman? Do y'all know who I'm talking about? The bounty hunter, Dog Chapman. Got the old long hair down his back. Got the old beard and wears his glasses right here everywhere he goes. They look like Oakley's on his eyes. I listened to a thing on him this week, and they talked about Dog Chapman and who he was and what he was. He said at 14-year-old, he was so bad. But he'd been raised up in church that his mama and daddy finally said, if you're not going to get right, you're going to have to get up. Get out of here. You can't be living that way under our roof. They had been praying, the mama had, asking God to move on his life. And old Dog Chapman, he got out and he left his mama and daddy and he went out into the streets and he said the only body that would receive him and the only body that would have him was Satan's disciples. He said that was a step right under the hell's angels. And he said he lined up with Satan's disciples and he got in there. And when they got in there and he got running with that gang, he said he was a black belt, said he was tough as you'd ever seen, said he'd fight anybody. And he wasn't scared of nobody. Amen. And said he got in there. And said every day, though, before they would eat, said old Dog Chapman said he would sit there and he would pray. And he would pray, even though as bad as he was, he would ask God to bless his food. And one day, the leader of that group there in his life, he asked him, he said, oh, what are you doing? Why are you bowing your head and praying? He said, are you a believer? He said, I'm not a believer, but I've been taught to pray. Hey, my mama's an old timer. Hey, my mama's an old schooler. Hey, she's one of them that taught us to pray. Hey, before we eat, and that's why we pray. And he said, if you want to know why my name is Dog Chapman, is that member of that gang, that leader of that gang, he said, if you're going to pray to that God, we're going to turn it around and call you Dog, D-O-G instead of G-O-D. And he said at that moment, because he was a man that would bow his head and pray, lost, going to a devil's hell, he had no clue the effect that it had on his life. And from that day on, he's been a prayer. He got saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. And from this day on, he's carried that name, Dog Chapman. And he said that is his testimony, because even when he was lost, he knew somebody that was praying for him. Hey, this morning I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you prayed for somebody that was lost and needed to be saved? He said, I'll tell you this morning, can I say to you, the old time religion, people are going to pray. Amen. They're going to pray. They're going to ask God to move. They're going to ask God to have their way in their life. No matter what it costs them, they're going to pray. Can I say to you, number two, not only they're going to pray, but they're going to praise him. They're only going to pray. Old-time religion is going to praise him. They're not going to sit quiet. They're not going to sit like a bunch of wooden Indians. They're going to get up on their feet, and they're going to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? Hello? You ain't going to find them hid out somewhere. You ain't going to find them hid out. You ain't going to have to beg them to pray. You ain't going to see them at a ball game acting one way and come to the house of God, and all their vocal cords just shut up. Oh, no, they're going to stand up, and they're going to holler, Jesus, and they're going to praise him. Said at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed, and they praised. They sang praises, Brother Gary. They praised his name. They praised him for who he was. Let me show you this in the Bible this morning. Not only did they pray, but they praised. Look with me, if you will. Old-time religion, people are going to pray. And old-time religion, people are going to praise. You can't stop it this morning. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Did you know people are listening to what you're doing? They're listening to your prayers. They're listening to your praise. They're listening to your complaints. They're listening to your griping. They're listening to your old me's. They're listening to everything that you do. If it's going to come out of my mouth, I pray it would be a prayer, or I pray it would be praise. Amen. Look what he said here. It will produce prayers. No prayer, you got no power. Quit praying, you ain't got a bit of power in your life. In the model prayer in Matthew 6:13, it said, thine is the kingdom and the power. When they were praying, they said, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. No prayer, no power. I see it produces prayer. I see it produces praise. Folks will praise. They sang praises unto God. They shouted unto God. Look what they said here. And sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. When you start praying and praising God, things are going to happen. They shouted praises. They wouldn't quiet. Everybody could hear them. Psalm 138, the Bible says, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. The little g, I will sing praises unto thee. He said, I don't care who's around, I'm going to sing praises unto thee. They sang praises unto God. They shouted praises. And they sure knew who they were praising when they were praising God. Can I say to you, Daniel praised God in the lion's den. Job prayed God, praised God in the ashes that he sat down in. With boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Said he took old pottery and would scrape the boils off of him. Just scrape them off of him. Scrape them old boils off of him. And you know what he did? He didn't curse God. He didn't do nothing. You know what he did? He just sat down in them ashes. You know why? Because that's all he had left, Brother Chad. Everything he had always gave to God, all of his offering, all of his sacrifice, all of his burnt offerings, everything was burned up. He didn't have nothing else to give. He didn't have no money. He didn't have no family. He didn't have no buildings. He didn't have none of that. All that was taken because all God wanted at the end was Job. And this morning, all God wants from you is you. Don't sell him out this morning. Give him all of you. Said, oh, Job, just sit down in them ashes. And his old three buddies come and said, surely you've done something. Surely you've sinned. You know when you go through something, everybody thinks you've sinned. You let a little something happen in your life, let the battery go dead on your car, somebody thinks you've sinned. Everybody thinks you've sinned. Something go flat on your car, you're a sinner. Oh, no, I was a sinner before that tire ever got flat. I was a sinner before that battery ever went dead, hon. I hate to tell you that, hon. I was already there before any of that ever happened. But the good grace of God gave me enough money to buy a battery. The good grace of God gave me enough money to put me a tire on my car. Amen. Why? Because I prayed to him way before all that happened. And I praised him before it ever did happen. And when it did happen, I praised him. His friends come and say, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. This morning, can I say old time religion? If you want people to hear it and you want things to happen, number one, you're going to have to pray. And you can't rely on your preacher to pray. I've had people call me and say, preacher, you need to pray. And the first thing I ask them, I said, have you? Oh, they want to get offended. Son, they want to fight over the phone. I said, have you? Well, not yet. I was calling you. I said, well, wait, listen. I'm not the one that makes intercessory prayers on your behalf. If you're saved, you got somebody higher than me. His name's Jesus. You know why it ain't getting through? We're relying on somebody else to pray, somebody else to keep us up. Paul and Silas didn't call on nobody else. They called on Jesus, and they got to praying. And I want you to know heaven came down. They got to praying. They got to praising. Man, heaven come down. Let me show you what happened here when stuff like that happens. Man, are y'all having a good time? Man, I'm just having a heyday. I'm just having a heyday. Boy, it just tickles my soul this morning. Daniel prayed. Job prayed. Paul and Silas sang praise. I asked you this morning, what's keeping you from praising? I don't see nobody here sitting in ashes. I don't see nobody here in the lion's den. I don't see nobody got a gun to their head telling them not to do it in here. It's free will in here just to shout and dance about and have a good old time. Amen. Man, can you imagine no longer going to hell, but you're going to heaven? Whoo, son. Somebody said, you got a little Babacost on you. Oh, no, I'm just full Baptist, son. I'm telling you from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. They shouted way before the Pentecostal ever thought about shouting. You know what the problem with the Baptist folks is? They've lost their shout. They've lost their shout. They forgot what God has saved them from. They forgot the condemnation that was on their life. That they were dead in their trespasses and sin. They wasn't just a bad old boy or a bad old girl. They were dead. Ephesians 2 said you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Paul and Silas knew what it was to be dead and now alive. Amen. I see not only did they produce prayers, old time religion will produce praise, but old time religion, and I know this from my own experience, will produce pardons. You don't know why people ain't been set free that's sitting around you? They ain't seeing you pray. They ain't hearing your prayers. They ain't seeing you praise. They seeing you pout. I don't want nobody to pray for me that's pouting. Do you? Oh, I'd be afraid they go for the Lord pouting. I want to see them go for the Lord praising, saying, Lord, I help my brother, help my sister. I said, what are you talking about, preacher? There's pardons that were set free. This morning, there's been some set free this morning. Why? We prayed before we went in the rooms. We went back to the rooms and prayed. Some went back to the rooms and prayed. Come back out. Some praised all over this place. There's a pardon that come place in this house this morning. Let me give you this. It'll produce pardons. Folks will be set free. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. There was a shaking going on. There's a shaking. If you ain't felt a shaking in a while, it may be because you ain't praying and you ain't praising. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Listen to me this morning. There was a shaking taking place. This morning, maybe your spirit's been shook already this morning. My prayer is that you're so uncomfortable right now. I pray you're not comfortable. I pray you can't sleep. I pray you can't chew on your gum. I pray you're so uncomfortable right now. You're ready to get out of here. That's my prayer. I want this place to be like that. A place where we come in is holy, that God's meeting with us and sitting down with his people. It's not a civic club. It's not none of that. It's the house of God that we've come to reverence and see God show up and he be magnified. There's a shaking take place when all this happens. There's old time religion. There's a shaking take place. There's an opening take place. Boy, a person will be shook. That day I got saved, I'll never forget it. I was sitting back there and Brandy sitting beside me and tears flowing down my face. I was shaking like a leaf all over me. And she wanted me to talk to her. She said, "You okay, man?" I couldn't talk. I couldn't say a word. I was just shaking all over. Man, I couldn't say a word. There was a shaking going on. There's a shaking going on. When I stepped out and walked to that aisle, there's an opening that come in my life. Opening. He opened them chains of addiction. He loosed them and took them off me. All the guilt, all the shame, everything I had going on, Jesus Christ took it and took it off of me and set me free. So yeah, that's just for you. Oh no, that's for anybody. Paul and Silas prayed and every one of the prisoners got set free. But you know what? They could go, they're prisoners, they're thieves. They could go, I got this, Brother Jake, when I read, they could go any, they've been locked up. They can go anywhere they want to go, do anything they want to do. But instead, they'd be right there in the presence of God. You know why people don't come to the house of God? They've not been set free by the blood of God. You want to be where the presence of God is. You don't want to hang out at the honky-tonk. You don't want to stay over yonder and do all that. You don't want to be where you've been set free. See, they could go anywhere they wanted to go, do anything they want to do. But he said, "Hey, don't harm yourself. We're all here. Hey, we've seen something happen. We ain't leaving. I'm sticking in. Can I get an amen? Man, I've seen some good stuff, and I'm not leaving." I ask you this morning, have you ever got a hold of something like that? Where you say, "Man, I'm telling you what, that wasn't the preacher, that wasn't the deacons, that wasn't the song music, that wasn't the, that was just the old Holy Ghost of heaven, that's an old time religion. It got a hold of me and it got me good." See, there's a shaking take place, there's an opening, and there's a loosening, because in Luke 4:18, Jesus said he's come to preach deliverance to the captives. He's come to set the captives free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I tell them all the time when they call my phone, the ones that's still bound down, you've not been set free. You can be saved in here this morning and still have chains all over your life. You can be saved in here this morning and still be under bondage, buckled down right here. You can still be buckled down. You can still be chained down right here and be saved. You've let Satan put that grip back on you. You let him put them chains back on you. The greatest tragedy that I hear is this. When you go to a man and start telling him about Jesus, he said, "Listen, I ain't never asked nobody for nothing." And I applaud him for that. He said, "I pay my bills. I don't ask nobody for nothing. I ain't never asked the church for a penny. I take care of my kids." I said, "I applaud you for that, sir. I applaud you for that. I'm a good man." And I said, "Sir, I applaud you for that. I applaud you for that. I've worked every day of my life." "Yes, sir, I applaud you for that. And you telling me that I'm a good man? And God will send me to hell?" I said, "No, sir, he will not send you to hell. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you rejecting Jesus Christ is going to send you to hell. The payment's there, but you're not getting, well, I've done all this good. I've gave here and I've given." I said, "Sir, that'll do you no good. I've gave to the needy. I give to St. Jude. I give here. I give there. I write a check whenever I got to. And sir, I applaud you for that and thank you for putting it in the plate, but that's not going to get you nowhere." What's going to get me there then? And boy, this tires them up when you say, "We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for all must come to Jesus Christ." All. And you're telling me that if I don't do that, I'm going to go to hell. Yes, sir, I am. According to the word of God. He said, "Preacher, what will that do to a person?" I want to show you this right here in the text. And I want to give you this morning. And if this is you, Daddy, Mama, or whoever, if this is you, listen real good to this last part that God showed me in this text. And I want to show you what will happen when people pray and they praise God and people start getting set free. Here's what will happen to somebody that's sitting right here today. It happens to them right here today. Number one, when folks start praying and praising God and folks get set free, it'll shock some folks. It'll shock them. The ones that are sitting there that really want it, they'll be shocked. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. Verse 27. He said, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. He was shocked at what he had saw. I locked them down. I locked every one of them down before I left to go home. I locked every one of them down. You know why he was shocked? Because if any of them escaped and fled, his life was required. And he said, oh no, we're all here. It shocked the prisoner. Shocked the jailer. It shocked him. Can I say not only will it shock him, but it'll scare him to death. It'll scare him to death when God starts knocking on that heart's door right in your face. You know the life you're living, the things you're doing, you need to change. So don't point your finger at me. I'm pointing one at you and pointing four right back at me. I'm not preaching nothing to you that ain't come to my heart. It'll shock you and it'll scare you. It'll scare you to death when the Holy Ghost gets on you and tells you that, hey, you need to change. You need to change. Look what that jailer did. Then he called for a light. Can I say he had all the light he needed? Oh, glory to God. And he sprang in and he came doing what? Trembling. Scared him to death. When you get in the presence of God, you'll be scared to death. And not only did it shock him, and not only did it scare him, but he gave in and it saved him. He gave in and it saved him. No longer was he worried about his job. No longer was he worried about his stance in the community or anything going on. He is worried about his relationship. Look what he said. And brought them out. He brought Paul and Silas out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And here's what Paul and Silas told him. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house, and took him the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his straightway, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So what do you mean, believing on the Lord, preacher? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Open your mouth. And shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They won't be hit out. They'll be praying and praising. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My question to you this morning is this. Are you willing to trade in your old time religion? Satan's wanting it. Satan's wanting it this morning. He's wanting your Bible. He's wanting your prayer life. So, preacher, why you get up there sweating and acting all crazy? Holy Ghost, son. It's serious. It's the most serious thing in the world. Ain't nothing no more serious. And a man get up and dialect it to death and sit there and just mope around with it, how disgraceful that is. That a man wouldn't get up and preach the word of God when people's souls are hanging in the balance, that they may go to hell and they need to be saved. This morning I come with a burden on my heart. I've prayed all week long if there be one lost, and there's men in this church that's prayed the same prayer. If there's one be lost, 10 men grouped together this week and said if one person be lost, then you would save them before it's eternally too late. And God answered that prayer. Eternity's hanging in the balance. It ain't what I do all week long that's going to give me anything. It's where I spend my time in prayer. And it's where I spend my time in praising Him, no matter the valleys we go through. He said, preacher, is it worth it all? I'm going to stick to it to the end. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with the old time to the end. Either here or somewhere else, I'm going to stick with it to the end. There's some things I can't do, and there's some things I won't give in to. There's some things I'm going to stand on. One's that old King James Bible. I'm going to stand on it to the day I die. I'm going to stand on that word. I'm going to stand on praying. I'm going to stand on praising. I'm going to stand on that when a man's set free, he's truly set free. That he won't be living the same old life when he's been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. He said, preacher, you believe it that much? I believe it that much. This morning, if you said, well, I believe it, it ain't that serious. You need to get some of him. You need to get you a taste this morning. You need to get some of them bonds set free, loosened, chains let go. It is that serious this morning. I'm going to ask you a question right now before we go into time of altar. Brother Garrett, you get ready. Praise team, you get ready. You'll be coming back up. I'm going to ask you this. You go to Kevin McDaniel Auto Shop and you got something ticking on the hood. Tick, 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 tick. And he tells you, oh, you just got a flat tire. Ain't the story. Ain't what you want to hear. It ain't nothing to do with tire. It's something on the hood. Right? And Brother Kevin comes out and says, oh, no, it ain't tire. It's really your motor. It's going to blow. If you don't do something now, you just have major problems. You want the truth. You want the truth there. You go to Sister Megan, a doctor. You go to Sister Megan here. And you go in and she looks at you and she says, it ain't that bad. Just quit eating. It's going to be all right. Just don't eat that. It's going to be all right. And really it's something a lot worser. But then she comes to you and she says, listen, you got problems. And we need to do further scans and we need to see what's going on and we need to take this treatment. You want the truth. You want the truth. You want the truth. You send your kids to school to be taught the truth. We want the truth everywhere in life. We want our spouse to be truthful. Everywhere we go, we want truth. But till we come to the man of God, till we come to this place, is the place that we'll say, well, no, it's really got gray area. With that motor ticking and he tells you that, you'll get something done about it because there's no gray area because it's going to cost you. When you go to the doctor and she says, if you don't get this done, you get something done because it's going to cost you. As your pastor today, I tell you this, if you're not washing the blood of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Get saved and it's not going to cost you. The penalty's been paid for, been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand here today to tell you this. You don't want it to cost you. You don't want some experience you had when you was a kid and now you're living like the devil and doing what you want to. You're out on your own and you say, I can live like I want to now. That is not being born again. That is not being born again. Listen to me this morning. Man, it's on my heart so heavy this morning. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you was lost, you're lost. But if you're saved, you're saved. And there's going to come a day that there's going to be a penalty that's going to have to be paid. And make sure this morning that what you got is that old time Holy Ghost religion this morning. Been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's been times I sit in services just like this and be looking at people. And in about 2 weeks, preach their funeral. I never forget me and Brother Larry Jeffries. Me and Brother Larry Jeffries sat at Ambry, Mississippi on the same day. Shoulder to shoulder. It was this shoulder, his shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder. Miss Beth is in the car. My wife was in the car. We sat shoulder to shoulder. Been in church not too long before that. Sitting shoulder to shoulder. Look, Brother Larry, I said, how are you feeling? He said, man, I'm sick. I said, I am too, Brother Larry. So what do you think you got? He said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. Either. I ain't never been this sick. I said, one thing about it, if he calls me home, I'm ready, ain't you? Didn't think nothing about it. He said, I'm ready if he calls me too. That day, they sent me home, and they sent him on to the hospital. Not many, very many days after that. Brother Larry didn't get to come back home. We both had COVID. Brother Larry didn't get to come back home. I think about that a lot of times. Last thing I said to him sitting there, I said, if he takes me home, I'm ready. What about you, Brother Larry? Brother Larry looked at me and said, I'm ready too, preacher. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm sitting here and I'm asking you a question. Are you ready? If this was it, are you ready? And if you're not, why not get ready today? Brother Garrett, let us pray. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you so much for this congregation. And Lord God, I thank you that you burdened me so heavy, Father, with their spiritual stand with you. Father, they're loving people. They're here. They're doing what you called them to do. And Lord, we want to stand on that old-time religion. Father, we want to pray and we want to praise you and see people set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't want this place to turn into some social club. Father, we want it to be the house of God. A place we come that's bound, that can be set free. The people that are bound down can be set free. They can be loosened and doors can be open. Father, that's what it's all about this morning. Lord, this morning, if we come in for anything different, what a disgrace we'd do to your name. Father, whoever needs to be set free, let them be set free this morning. I beg in the name of Jesus, they walk not walk out the way they walked in. Lord, this morning we got kids in here that need to know the old time religion. Father, they need to see the importance of it. Father, they need to see how real it is. Lord, this morning I thank you for our church. And I thank you for Jesus Christ, that you purchased our church and every church there is. Every true church, you've purchased it by your blood. So now this morning you have your will and way. And we'll ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.